invitation song will be number 674. Number 674.
Scripture reading this morning will be from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 7. Now therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things.
I'm thankful for that scripture reading. Last Sunday morning, we talked about the lesson of being diligent in our Christian life and what that really means in relationship to what Paul is saying there in 2 Timothy about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And if you remember there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, part of being a good soldier is enduring hardships or sufferings or afflictions. He's really having in mind there the idea that when we stand for the truth, when we study it, and when we put it into practice, we are going to suffer hardship in the form of persecution. And so we need to be ready to understand that that is going to be what happens for us when we are good soldiers of Jesus Christ. I want to call our attention before the official lesson begins to a passage that will help us understand the importance of listening to God's Word during these sermons. In Psalm 119, in verse 11, David has in mind probably the most important reason for studying the Word of God and for listening to lessons from the pulpit and from going to Bible class. And this is probably the best one to help us understand the significance of it. There in Psalm 119 and verse 11, the Bible says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." I want you to think about that just briefly here as we introduce the lesson. When we think about what David is saying here, notice that in this translation it says treasured. And that is a better translation of what the Hebrew originally meant. You see, it's as if he wants us to take a shovel and start digging in our heart to bury this treasure which is called God's Word. And once we have dug that hole and placed that Word in that hole that we've dug up, we are to fill it. And that way that treasure will always be there. You see, the picture here is I'm going to do that so that every time I need to open up that treasure chest, every time I need to go to God's Word, I can really enjoy how to spend that gold and silver that's found there. You see, that's the picture that David had in mind, and for the purpose of what? So that we would not sin, or that we may not sin. How do we overcome the devil? How do we overcome temptation? Well, the Bible says there, I have to have the Word of God like a treasure in my heart, so that I can overcome the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, with that in mind, I want to return to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, because last Sunday we talked about what it really means to be diligent. That a good soldier of Jesus Christ will be diligent, but in the context here, he's referring to how we would stay away from useless arguments in the brotherhood. How we would prevent ourselves from becoming false teachers in the form of Philetus and Hymenaeus, who were already teaching that the resurrection had happened. You know, I always wonder whenever these two men were teaching that false doctrine, How many people looked over to the graveyards that were there and still saw dead people in the grave? Because if the resurrection had already come to pass, there would not have been one person still dead when they were teaching that. And yet that's what they did. They wanted to interpret the idea of a different type of resurrection than what Paul and the rest of the New Testament writers have confirmed to us, that when that day comes, everybody in the grave, whether wicked or righteous, they're all going to be called up and resurrected to either hell or to heaven, depending upon how they live. But I want us to understand in 2 Timothy chapter 2 that there's a specific thing in mind. Remember, Paul is in Rome and in prison. He's going to be put to death for preaching the gospel, and he understands that. And so his final words to Timothy are all about being a good soldier and understanding how important the gospel of Jesus Christ is. That's what the entire book of 2 Timothy is all about. So we don't want to take the lesson from that, right? We want to understand the meaning there. And so in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself as a workman approved by God, rightly handling the word of truth. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, there are several lessons that a Christian can learn from that, and that is what I would like to focus on. The first one was the idea of being diligent. Now let's move along here in our text. To be diligent to do what, Jesse? What am I as a good soldier supposed to be diligent in? Well, remember we called our attention to the idea that being diligent means to do something quickly or with haste. It doesn't mean to do it brainlessly and without any thought. In fact, contrary to that, a Christian is to be zealous and meditate upon God's Word. But the idea is that I have an urgency to do it because I am a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm going to quickly walk to heaven. I'm going to quickly walk to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I'm going to quickly walk to be faithful to God. I'm going to quickly walk to study the Scriptures so that I can recall to my mind what the Bible says. But in this text, he said, be diligent to what? To present. What does that mean? What does that mean as a child of God and as a good soldier to present myself to God? That's what I would like to think about this morning. In Psalm 139, we need to understand that there is such a thing as an idea that we are all in the presence of God. Why? Because He's all present. Whether we are righteous or we're wicked, God knows exactly who we are, exactly what we do, whether we're sinning or whether we're living righteously. But David, once again in Psalm 139 and beginning in verse 7, makes that point very clear. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in the grave, behold, you are there. If I lift up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will bruise me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not too dark for you. And the night is as bright as the day, darkness and light are alike to you. Not that God is evil, but the idea is that, in a sense, we are all in the presence of God. But in the idea that Paul wants to draw our attention to is not to talk about how the whole human race is before God and He knows our thoughts and our feelings and knows everything about us. He knows all the intentions of our heart. He's specifically talking about Christians. I must present myself to God. The first thing I want to talk about is a very important lesson. And it's found over in James chapter 4. The first one is, I must draw near to God. You know that's what the original word present means? The Greek word means to place myself beside. The idea would be if Christ were sitting up here and I was to walk down this middle aisle and place myself at His feet. That's the picture here this word means. We need to draw near to God. In James chapter 4, if you have your Bible there, beginning in verse 8, James makes this point pretty plain and clear. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and cry. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. There is a picture here that James wants us to think about. First, he says, draw near to God. If I'm going to present myself to God, if I'm going to lay myself at the altar of Him, how do I do that? It's simple, right? I must draw near to God. But how do I do that? How do I draw near to God, James? How do I draw near to God, Paul? How do I actually do that? You know, in this part of the sermon, this is going to sound elementary. It's going to sound simple. It's not difficult. But how do I draw near to God? Well, I think the obvious one is study, right? I harp on that one all the time. If I die right now and the one thing you can say about Jesse is that he told me to study, that would be fine with me. But how do we expect to draw close to God if we never even open His written Word? Is that possible? Because in these pages, God reveals His nature, who He is, and He reveals our responsibility to that nature. Now, this is my will, and you have a choice. But how can I expect, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to stay away from useless arguments and to prevent myself from becoming a false teacher? How can I draw close to God if I do not open up His breathed-out Word? Well, the answer is simple. I can't. It's impossible. That's the practical application of this, isn't it? How do I draw near to God, James? You know, Jesus once said that no one would draw you to God except my Father. He's talking about Jesus preaching the truth to them. And that if people are willing to have a good and honest heart and listen to the gospel, that is what is going to draw people to become Christians and to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be faithful, even if we have to die for that faith that we have. But how do we draw near to God, Jesse? Of course, we understand study as all Christians. That's the most important building block there. But here's another application. Here's something to think about when we are drawing closer to God. And that is, show up. Show up to worship. Show up to Bible class. Show up to Wednesday night. God forsake, we have to come Wednesday night, huh? God forsake, we have to do that. How do I draw near to God? You realize in the Greek here in this word, there's the implication that if I'm not doing the practical application of this, then the opposite is true. For example, if I don't study, what am I going to do? I'm going to draw myself further away from God. If I don't show up for worship as I'm commanded, I'm going to draw further away from God. If I hinder my prayer life, if I stop praying as I should, and pray without ceasing, right, as we know that verse, if I stop communicating to the God of heaven, I'm going to distance myself from Him. Now think about that as a good soldier. I have the sword, but I'm not going to use it. I have the shield, but I'm not going to use it. I have the helmet of salvation, but I'm not going to put it on. Can you imagine when Paul described the Christian soldier in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 10 through 17? Can you imagine that he would think about people who would say, you know, this is all good stuff, but I'm not going to equip myself with everything I need. We are at a war right now, brethren. And that war is not against flesh and blood. It is against the principalities of the air. It's against Satan and the spiritual host of wickedness. It's against him. And as a good soldier, if I'm going to present myself at the altar of God, I need to understand this very simple principle. Draw near to me. And also there in James chapter 4, not to get away from what Paul is saying there about presenting ourselves to God, But I want us to understand that also it says this, draw near to God and what? He will draw near to you. But not just that, cleanse your hands, you sinners. I need to live a faithful life to God. If I don't, I am distancing myself from the Almighty God. That's what Paul has in mind when he's trying to tell Timothy, look, I'm about to die. You're going to have to carry the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You're going to have to defend the gospel and stand for it. And you're going to have to cherish it. And this is only possible if you understand what it means to present yourself at the altar of God, that you're willing to offer up your life to Him. That's an important lesson, brethren. And that's what Paul had in mind when he was talking to Timothy there. Second thing that we need to understand in regard to presenting myself to